So very thankful to the Lord to be here in this place. I'm from Mississippi, but I'm home here in Texas. But it's not because I'm in Texas. It's because I believe we've been blessed to be in the city of the living God. What a blessing that is. So thankful for the good preaching that's gone on before. We love your pastor very much. He's been very special to me and to my family. Made such a difference in our lives. We're so thankful for the good, humble prayer prayed by Brother Clifford, and what a blessing he's been. As I look over the congregation at people, ministers, brethren, sisters that I've loved for so many years, what a blessing it is to be in the city of God together. And I hope we never take it for granted. Amen. I kind of think we take a little less for granted than we did about a year ago. I do ask an interest in your prayers. Appreciate the sweet hospitality, the sweet love of this church. If you got your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Galatians chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Over the last several months, my mind has gotten on to what are some of the marks of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I began to think and to ponder the many marks I think there are in the church, I kind of thought about a mark that I think is almost like a big umbrella that covers all the other marks. That is, the church of the Lord Jesus is God-centered and not man-centered.
Amen.
Now, you think about our doctrine, you think about our practice, you think about all that we try to do that the Lord has given us to do. It is centered on God Almighty. He's the focus and not men. The Apostle Paul begins this epistle to the church at Galatia, who had gotten away from the truth, who had gotten on the wrong track, and he starts with that fundamental truth. Paul, an apostle. Then he tells you how he's not an apostle. He said, I'm not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not an apostle of men. I'm not an apostle by men, but I'm an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. I would to God we'd always be a church focused upon him. That we'd always be a church centered upon him and never upon man. I'll tell you, if a practice is in the church that pays attention to man, you know it's not right. If the focus is not on the Lord. Said, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, grace to you and peace. Where's that come from? From men? From the White House? From the Supreme Court? From the Capitol building? No, he said, grace be to you. Grace be to you. He uses that personal pronoun. We need grace. We need it as a church, but we need it individually. Grace to you individually. And peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, toward the end of John chapter 16, would say, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's how we're able to have peace in the midst of COVID, peace in the midst of the trials and the tribulations of life, peace in the midst of the lowest valleys we've ever traveled through ever. In Jesus, we can have peace. He said that in me, you might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I, not we, I have overcome the world. That word overcome means he's gotten the victory. Brother Luke just preached that wonderful and able message about the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our warfare is accomplished. He got the victory. And I'll tell you, that's good for us in heaven. But it's also good for us right now. Good for us right now. He said, who gave himself for our sins. That's personal, isn't it? That pronoun, our, for our sins. That he might deliver us, again, personal pronoun, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He gave himself, freely gave. He was sent by the Father before the foundation of the world, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, covenant together that God the Father would give the Son a people. And it's those people that he died for our sins. And he got the job done. He didn't try to do it. He did do it. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. That word might doesn't express doubt. But it's a shorter form of the word mighty. I love what it says in Psalms chapter 24. As the triumphant King, the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe is ascending up into heaven. And the divine decree goes forth. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. Why? The King of glory is coming in. The mighty triumphant King. The King that's died upon the cross of Calvary. The King that's finished the work of redemption. The King that's the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. He's mighty. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. I'm going to tell you, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did upon the cross of Calvary, heaven and immortal glory will be all over our home one sweet day. But I'm going to tell you what he did on the cross of Calvary delivers us even now from this present evil world. Do you need that? I sure do. I sure do. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is good for all eternity. But I'm going to tell you, it's good in 2021, right here and right now. He's delivered us from this present evil world. The reason we wanted to be here this weekend, the reason we wanted to be close to the Lord is because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for us. And because of that blood, we were blessed to be born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And the things we used to hate, now we love. We wanted to be here because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. We've already had a little bit of quoting out of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is always a good book to quote from, and you'll never get to the end of it. Hebrews 9 and verse 14, it says, it's talking about the blood of bulls, of goats that never did take away even one sin. Think of all the animal sacrifices that were sacrificed year after year after year after year, but never took away even one sin. But now, but how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the true and the living God. He wasn't offered to me or to you. Said he offered himself without spot to God. I love this verse. All three persons of the Trinity are involved in this. God the Father, he was offered unto. God the Holy Spirit, he offered himself through the Eternal Spirit. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ who was delivered for our offenses. All three persons of the Godhead were involved in this redemptive work. What a blessing! All the Godhead, all the power of it, was involved in the eternal redemption of God's people. Said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God? That's who he was offered to. Did God accept the sacrifice? He sure did. He sure did. What else does that do? Helps us in heaven, but it purges our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that offering that Jesus made, has helped us now do works pleasing unto God. From dead works to serve the true and the living God. As Brother Luke was finishing his very able message, he was talking about us serving the Lord and the Lord continuing to give us strength. I couldn't help but think about the words of Jesus, who said when he had done all, that servant had done all, he'd still say, I'm an unprofitable servant. I've done that which was my duty to do. Something that's unprofitable, you put more into it than you get out of it. I've got a thrift savings plan at work. It's a 401k. And I want it to be profitable. I want to get a lot more out of it than I put in it. And if I put a lot more into it than I get out of it, it's unprofitable. Lord's put a lot more into Mark Quarles than he'll ever get out of me. When we've done all, we're still unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. We're soldiers of the King. We have duties. He said, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What's it about? Glory of man? Nay, the glory of God the Father. We've already heard that numerous times, even tonight. It's about his glory. He said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. They had been removed from the true gospel. They had been removed from the gospel that said what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary was sufficient. It's a finished work and you don't have to add anything unto it. They had left that gospel. But they had not only left that gospel, but in leaving that gospel, they had been removed from him. Not only from the truth about him, they had been removed from him. Not eternally. But they weren't as in closest fellowship because they weren't believing the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang that song tonight. Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee. Is that not the heart cry of all of us here tonight? Lord, I want to be nearer to you. Not further away. Lord, I don't want to be removed from you. I want to be nearer to you. I was studying recently on some of the life of Mary Magdalene. One of the hallmarks of Mary Magdalene's life is she desired all of her life, and she did. She was as close as she could be to the Lord Jesus Christ every time you see her betrayed. Where was she at the cross of Christ? One of the hardest times it would have been to be close to the Lord was there upon the cross. We have no scriptural record that any of the male disciples were right there but John. But where did we see Mary Magdalene? She stood by the cross. Where would I have been? Where would you have been? Mary was by the cross. They took his body down from the cross. Where was Mary? She sat over against the sepulcher. Where was she on that resurrection morn? She went there. She was the first one blessed to see the risen Christ. Peter and John had come out there. They had seen the empty tomb. You know what they did? They left and went home.
They did.
What did Mary do? She stayed. She stayed. And she saw the risen Christ. You know what she was told to do by the Lord? Said, you go and tell my disciples, you have seen me. You have seen the risen Christ. She's not a preacher. Women are not called to be ministers in that way as ordained ministers. But I'll tell you, she was given the commandment from the Lord Jesus Christ to share that good news with the disciples. What a blessing. And I believe as she strived all of her days to be closer and closer and closer to the Lord Jesus blessed her when he rose from the dead to be the very first one that saw her risen Savior, her Lord. And I wonder, did she want to see him worse than anybody else? The Lord knew that. The Lord granted that request. These had left the truth of the gospel, and in doing that, they had been removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another. A lot of my career, and one of the many federal crimes we've had in federal court, is people that try to fake stuff. You know, you got a Gucci purse, but it really ain't a Gucci. And they're trying to pawn it off as a Gucci and a lot of other name brand things. But it's fake. It's not real. Now, I'm going to tell you, any gospel that somebody tries to preach or to put upon that's not the gospel made by God Almighty, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a fake and it's really not another gospel. There is not another gospel. But though we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, they're fake. Doesn't matter if an angel preaches. Doesn't matter if a man preaches it. Preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you. Let him be accursed. That's a strong word. Means doomed to destruction and to misery. I don't want that, do y'all? Let's just hold to the one the Lord gave us. Let's just hold to the truth of the gospel that Jesus finished the work. That the warfare is accomplished. And we've been blessed to receive of the Lord double for all our sins. Double punishment, no double blessing. Double grace. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man, in case we didn't get it the first time, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. How important it is for us to cling to the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and never, ever, ever let it go. For do I now persuade men or God? I've gotten into a lot of conversations with ministers over time about what that word persuade means. The King James translators translated it persuade. An alternate rendering can be trust, but I'm just going to stick with what the King James translators said. Do I now persuade men? Or God? I don't think I'm going to persuade God of anything. We've already heard about the Lord. He has all knowledge. Mark Qualls has very little. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than my ways. So I'm not going to persuade the Lord anything. I better be persuaded of what he says to me. Do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Who are we here to please? Men or God? Again, the church is about pleasing God, not men. That's the way he started. We're to please him. I love the analogy of a soldier in Scripture. So he writes to the young preacher Timothy. He says, we're to please him who had chosen us to be a soldier. Who are we trying to please in this life? I'm going to tell you, if we please God, we will not please men.
That's right.
We will not please this world. And it's getting more like that every day. Where if we please God, we will be hated by the world. We need to please him. The desire of our heart should ebb and flow. Lord, whatever I do, let me please him who had chosen me to be a soldier. I'll never forget the interview that Barbara Walters gave to General Norman Schwarzkopf, the great military victor of Desert Storm, the one who had been admired by the American public, the one who had been admired by presidents of the United States. Barbara Walters is talking to him about all of his military victories. She gets to a place in the interview, she said, your daddy was in the military, wasn't he? And General Norman Schwarzkopf, that tough, rugged soldier, that man who had been victorious in battle, said, yeah, my dad was in the military. And Barbara Walters said, I know he'd be proud. You began to see tears well up in this strong and rugged general's eyes. You see, he didn't care as much about the accolades of the American people or the accolades of the President of the United States, his commander-in-chief. It was obvious that at the end of the day, General Norman Schwarzkopf wanted to know that his daddy was pleased. And his tears welled up in his eyes. I'll tell you, at the end of the day, for all of us as little children of God, the heart cry of all of us is, Lord, more than anything else, I want you to be pleased with what I've done. Lord, I'm a soldier in your army. I'm a soldier in your kingdom. And at the end of the day, Lord, I want to please you that's chosen me to be a soldier. Where do we see his commands, his decrees, his marching orders? Right here. How does he lead the thoughts and intents of our hearts? We pray to him and we seek his guidance for our lives. And we say, Lord, show me what you would have me to do. That's what he did with the Apostle Paul. He said, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. Is that a theme? Is he emphasizing that? For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul had many things revealed unto him that the Lord desired for him to know. What a blessing what the Lord's revealed to us tonight. We know many things. We've been blessed. It's been revealed to us many things that many prophets and many righteous men have desired to see and have not seen them. But blessed are your eyes, for they've seen them.
That's right.
And your ears, for they heard them. I hope we value that.
Yeah.
I hope we care about that. I hope that this to us is the treasure hid in the field that means so much to us that we'll sell all that we have.
It is.
And we'll buy the field.
Yeah.
That's how much it means to us. The Lord reveals so much to the Apostle Paul, and I don't have time to go into much, but I just want to go into one place to get a glimpse. The Apostle Paul was not there when the Lord Jesus Christ did that last Passover meal with his disciples. You remember what he told them? He said, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Apostle Paul wasn't there. A good time before the road to Damascus. But the Lord wanted him to see it. You know what? I believe the Lord showed it to him. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he's been talking to them about the communion. He's been talking to them about the Lord's Supper. And he said, "For I have received of the Lord." God gave this to him. God showed this to him. Here's one of his apostles. This is a special ordinance of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is such a blessing. How much did we miss it while we were not able to do it for a little while? And here he said, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come.'" I believe he showed that to the Apostle Paul, how important it was as an ordinance of the church and as emblems of the broken body. "This is my body, which is broken for you." He wanted Paul to experience that. And he revealed it unto him in a revelation. "This is my body, which is broken for you." We ministers, as we partake in the communion, we're blessed. As we're breaking each piece of bread, to think each one of these pieces we're breaking off is going to a little sheep of God here in the congregation. And I think in my mind, this body was broken for you and for you and for you and for you. Yes, he died for all the elect family of God, but he died for us individually. He died for you. His body was broken for you. His blood was shed for you. What's the greatest motivation for us to please him who had chosen us to be a soldier? Fear of discipline? The Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us. Hesitate to say anything about cattle in front of Elder James Isaacs. I'm afraid I'll get something wrong. But it's my understanding that's like a cattle squeeze, where if you got to get the cow in an exact place, the exact place the cow needs to be to get a shot or to do whatever, he's in the cattle squeeze. You know what's the best way to get us in the exact place that we need to be? The love of Christ. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have not charity, Have not unconditional love, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but I have not charity, unconditional love, it profiteth me nothing. You know, as we love the Lord more, as we learn more about Him and learn more about His truth, we'll love Him more and more and more. You know why? Because there's nothing about Him not to love. Better you get to know Mark Qualls, honestly, you'll see things about me not to love. Not so with the Lord. He is altogether lovely. He's without spot. He's without blemish. He is altogether lovely. And to know more about Him, to learn more about Him, to be closer to Him in truth and in fellowship is to love Him more. As we love Him more, we'll be more in the place we need to be. The love of Christ constraineth us to be in the place we need to be. I would to God we'd please the Lord and not men. And I would to God we'd spend the rest of our life, that I'd spend the rest of my life pleasing Him who had chosen me to be a soldier. May God richly bless you.
Amen.
My prayer.